97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, plenty of testimony to talk about this week and last. Obviously, we had what dropped with Tulsi Gabbard and John Ratcliffe on this issue with the Russian hoax story. And I don't know where this goes. I heard in that very interesting interview, of course, with John Solomon talking about Barack Obama in this situation. And right now, let's get to Shannon, please.
Shannon is gone.
Get up, baby. Get up.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I listened to John Solomon yesterday. Obviously, you know John and from Just the News. And he was pointing out the fact that because of that immunity ruling for President Trump, if Barack Obama has immunity and they called him to testify, he could not plead the Fifth. This thought had not even really crossed my mind, but that's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, if you play things out to the end, that's certainly a possibility. And as you know, we are many steps away from there. But, you know, as these questions grow and as we get more information and more documentation, you know, there are multiple investigations going on now. So I am quite sure that the former president, a lot of folks in his inner circle, you know, have discussed these legal theories and defenses with their attorneys.
I know. A person I'd love to hear from is Kash Patel again.
Right.
There was a story circulating yesterday that he, you guys had reported on this, that he had turned up thousands of documents in a burn room. So documents that had been collected that were getting ready to be incinerated, and that among them were the Durham files that were filed, I guess, securely, separately from what was released to the public.
Yeah, and we have some folks internally also who have worked in, you know, national intelligence and national security have said to us, listen, there would be copies and things that would be held in different places. And some of this is protocol for the way that you properly go through and get rid of sensitive documents. So I've got a lot more questions than answers on that. But
yeah,
it certainly sparks, you know, questions about why are we just now finding this? Why was it segmented? What was the purpose? What was going to happen to these documents? And where are the other originals and things if they are being held safely somewhere else?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm trying to keep track of how many former Biden staffers have already been called to testify.
Mm-hmm.
I know the majority of them have just said, oh, I plead the Fifth. I mean, there's no limit here. They could just continuously keep calling these staffers, right?
They could. And so today we have another planned transcribed interview. So it's not sworn testimony in the way that the depositions have been, which is where you continually seem to get people taking the Fifth. But Mike Donilon, who was a top senior advisor to President Biden, would certainly be somebody you would expect would know how he was doing on a day-to-day basis, how he was making decisions or who was making decisions. So this is one of those voluntary transcribed interviews. And those seem to be the place that we do get most response from people. So it'll be interesting by the end of the day to get a readout on what he's got to say.
Yeah, Steve Ricchetti, I think, is the one, one of the ones that testified yesterday. And from what I've heard, it wasn't just a matter of I plead the Fifth answers to every question.
Right. And, you know, what we are hearing is that he was a little bit combative, sort of aggressive, as, you know, you would be if you're under the gun, maybe, and having to answer these questions. But he stuck with his position that President Biden was fully capable of running and also being president again for another 4 years. He said, you know, he made mistakes that everybody makes as they age. He said, you know, other presidents make mistakes and mess up names and leaders and that kind of thing, and you don't pounce on it. But from what we're getting from sources inside, apparently he really pushed back and said, nope, the president was good to go, and he stands by that.
Yeah, well, I won't put words I won't make you comment on this, but he was one of the names that had been thrown around as maybe somebody who was making some of the decisions.
Maybe.
When Biden couldn't, right? Ricchetti. So, of course, he's going to be a little defensive on all that, I would think.
Yeah, because if there are questions now about auto pen use and who was signing off on things, and then that potentially dominoes into questioning the legality of those decisions, I can't imagine somebody on the inner circle is going to turn on the rest of them. I think you're probably going to get what you got yesterday. If somebody does talk, hey, he was fine, things were good. Or you're going to get, you know, when they're under a sworn deposition testimony, you're going to get the Fifth probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that whole auto pen thing is just going to take so long because there's so much that they would have to prove. Mm-hmm. And even if they do feel like, okay, we have enough evidence to move forward with this, who would then make that decision to overturn the mm-hmm. pardon?
Yeah, that's the question, because these would be new novel legal questions to most people. I mean, that's not something that we've seen challenged before. The question of whether a president was in his full faculties, signed off on something, didn't sign off on. It feels like, short of an admission by somebody on that inner circle, like, yeah, we did make some decisions that maybe he wasn't 100% aware of or fully on board with. And I can't imagine you get that admission. I don't know how you prosecute a case short of that.
Shannon, I don't know if we warned you about this question or not, but the Pelosi Act debate yesterday mm-hmm. has caught our attention here in Missouri, because the president is calling out Josh Hawley, one of our Missouri right. senators. The question here seems to be, even in the bill they passed, correct me if I'm wrong, the president, the vice president were carved out of that, so they wouldn't be affected by it. But what they were calling for was an investigation specifically into Nancy Pelosi, and that's what Hawley voted against, which apparently is what irritated the president, from what I can tell.
Yeah, and you know, the president does not have a thought, I think, that goes unexpressed when
yeah,
he talks to somebody on Capitol Hill. and we did see Senator Hawley say last night, like, listen, I'm going to talk to him. We're going to iron this out. We're going to figure this out. I mean, he'd referred to Senator Hawley as a second-tier senator. But it appears that Hawley didn't take the bait. I mean, the last, you know, kind of quote I saw from him in the dust-up last night talking to one of our reporters was essentially, I'm going to talk to the White House. We're going to get this all worked out. I think the president's going to be happy.
The president generally, they put their stuff in a blind trust, right? I mean, it's not like Donald Trump's calling his broker every day making stock trades.
Right. I don't think he's like on his TDBank.com logging in and making decisions. I mean, and there are protections that are supposed to be in place. And people ask questions about, what about spouses? What about children? What about other family members or staff members who could direct things or have their own, you know, trades going on? Would they have insider information? So it's been one of those things that over the years has had some bipartisan support, that the average American's like, listen, I don't have the information you guys have. I can't make these same deals and decisions. So let's just make it clear that there are lines drawn and that you're on the same level playing field as we are.
I'm sure Nancy Pelosi will come on this weekend and talk to you about that, right?
Always an open invitation to the Speaker Emerita.
She pushed back on Tapper.
You know, I don't know if we've talked about it, but there is a guy who put together a group where they started just trading whatever Nancy Pelosi does.
Yeah.
And they've made a ton of money. And this guy's like, we've invited her. We want to talk to her. But it apparently mirrors whatever trust or whatever decision grouping she's got. And they say they've really outdone the market by just following those trades.
Wow.
The Pelosi Index Fund. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Shannon, we'll be watching on Sunday. Thank you very much.
We'll see you then.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. How about that? The Pelosi Index Fund. Let's just mimic anything Nancy does.
Wow.
So I wonder how they do that. Like, they find out that Paul Pelosi put in a big trade. You immediately do the same thing?
Is that all open information?
I didn't think so. But
let's have an inside scoop there with someone with the family.
Get more at 971talk.com.